Hoffman.
Disclosed as far as that with Sarai being released. He went back to Texas and was going to find another school to call home. And Martinez, you're aware of, so nothing else from a roster standpoint.
Bobby Leith, is he on campus yet?
Not on campus yet. Will be. Just finished up summer schooling and will join the team in August.
Will that set him back?
Well, it sets him back from a conditioning standpoint, first and foremost. We got guys that the guys we commonly refer to as newcomers have been through 6 weeks of conditioning and training that he missed out on. With new NCAA rules, we can also have meetings with the kids, so he's missing out on groundwork for the defense. He'll be behind everybody else that's taking part in that.
Where are you at with health-wise, and who not, and I guess just overall health?
Luke's had a good summer. No setbacks, nothing that's holding him back. He's excited about how he feels and where he's at, and we're excited to get him into August. We'll have to, in my opinion, monitor him as we go through camp, and there's nothing like training camp that compares to any other time of the season. So even if a young man's gone 10 weeks straight without any problems, training camp can cause a little hitch. So we'll keep a close eye on him as well as several others.
How was the summer different for you guys this year? Because you had it seem like half your depth chart, either limited in participation in the spring, not participating, just to make sure they're ready for when you need them in the season.
Yeah, I think the strength staff was thrilled with having the bodies, and really not many with limitations. I mean, you're talking about by the time Daniel Burton got there, he was pretty much full go. Brock Daigle was pretty much full go. Dondre Daly got in there and was pretty much full go. Luke's been doing everything all summer. So I think they were very thrilled to have that kind of team to work with, and just as we as coaches will be in August, especially the 7th when we start.
With Quentin, I know there was talk last year, obviously, of the injury, the medical Richard. Have you guys gone through that process or anything like that?
NCAA process is one that we can't do anything with it till he's done with his eligibility. There's a pretty hard and steadfast rule that if we choose to redshirt a player, there's nothing injury-wise associated with it, then if the second one is an injury, then you have no case. Our case will be it happened on the fourth play of the season when that time comes, but you can't do anything with it until eligibility is done.
So it would be like next year? Next summer is when they're next.
I don't know how fast they would turn it around when our games are done. Mm-hmm. They know expeditiously from a recruiting standpoint and your numbers. I mean, you got to have an idea. Mm-hmm. I think a good bit of it will be determined by how well he plays.
Yeah.
If he has a year like he's capable of and has a chance to further his career at another level, I don't think we'll even seek it. I'd like to have that problem and deal with that in December.
Is there more such an urgency around him now? You're getting to the season after he missed all of last year, chomping at the bit kind of thing?
I think there's maturity there. There's seriousness there. He knows how easily it can be lost, and potentially this is his last go-round. So I see more leadership coming out of him. I see him doing a nice job of handling some of our younger players because of that. And I see a very individualized, focused player at the same time.
Paul, at the Cyclone tailgate in Ottumwa, you told a couple of us that coaches, when your assistant coaches were going to go out, that they were not only going to be recruiting, they were going to keep their ears open and talk about, see if anybody was negative recruiting and using cost of attendance against Iowa State. What did you find out?
Really none of that was taking place. It was I won't say it was status quo, because I believe in the feedback I got, there was a lot less bumping taking place this spring. And by bumping, I mean, any of us walking down the hallway and exchanging a casual, hello, how are you doing? That's what we're limited to as far as spring recruiting goes. Certain coaches took that beyond and had conversations and so forth and had a chance to sell. There was a lot less of that took place this spring in the opinion of our coaches. But the next next opportunity becomes with a coach in person in the spring or over the telephone. And we weren't getting a lot of, this school is going to pay you $50 more or $1,000 more or whatever those numbers added up to. That will change come fall, and especially come December and January, when it's down to one or two or three schools, and every little thing could make the difference.
So cost of attendance could be end up being used.
I think it will be used. I think the kids will be made aware of what every school has to offer. But still right now, you're talking about an impacting decision for 4 or 5 years of their lives short term, and then the rest of their lives long term. And I don't think a family, a young, is going to make a decision on $768 a year. I just don't think they will. I don't think that'll be the determining factor.
You mentioned that, I think it was the start of spring, that the JUCOs were more ahead than any other time in your years. Do you feel that the same now? And is there more excitement around the JUCOs maybe than before, just because they can maybe provide a punch right away?
Well, defensively, I mean, if you look at our numbers, we've got three junior college players that have been with us, but will be on the field for the first time, that will be new. And then you've got four incoming junior college players, three that were with us in the springtime, and then Bobby, who will join us in August. That's got a chance to be a significant impact on our defensive football team, and I think we'd all agree we need a significant impact on that side of the ball. So we're anxious for them to continue what we've seen thus far.
It seems like, I mean, just in the past, Dale Pearson's a good example. Last year, about halfway through the year, he started to really play well. Is that what you're expecting with a guy like Leith? I mean, it seems really difficult for a guy to come in the summer and make a huge impact in September.
I believe out of all of them that Bobby has the chance to contribute the least on paper, and following rules of experience, just because he is in so late and he's making that transition, and he's going from junior college player to four-year player, and he'll be behind knowledge-wise and conditioning-wise and so forth. So, and whether it's Bobby Leith or Dale Pearson or whoever before that, I mean, you can apply those numbers. You're looking, especially for somebody that arrives in the fall, about a half of a year before you really start to feel the impact. And by the end of the year, you're seeing truly what that player can be. Now, we just talked about the seven. You talk about Trent Taylor. You talk about Dale Pearson. Now you get excited because these guys are going into year two and they fully understand our program and they fully know what to expect in the Big 12 Conference.
So can Jordan Harris be into that conversation after the redshirt year?
Very much so. And you're talking about Jordan Harris, you're talking about Gabe Luna, and you're talking about Terry Ianni. Mm-hmm. Terry would be the furthest behind just because he's battled injuries for some period now. And I don't know if he will ever be the player he was before knee surgery. Jordan, you know, being in the program for a year and a half, even without the game experience, I think is starting to arrive in that regard and understands it. He'll be nervous as heck the first time he steps on the field. In the first game, he'll be nervous as heck when the Big 12 starts. But I think those things will die away just because he's been around our program so long.
Explosive plays last year. I know you didn't have as many as you wanted, and you gave up too many. Are you putting more emphasis on that this year because of that, or...?
I think that's a dangerous slope to get on. It's like turnovers. The more you talk about not giving them up offensively, sometimes the more you give them up, or the more you harp on, we got to get them, the less you get. I think the same thing with big plays. It's always going to be a point of emphasis because explosive plays are a true factor in winning and losing football games, as well as turnover margin is. So they're going to be emphasized, I wouldn't say over the top, though.
When you're talking about the defensive line, I guess one other name is Aka, and it's early, but he's not number one on the depth chart. And what have you seen from him that maybe vaults him forward through the summer?
The light went on in the spring, in my opinion. We were on the verge. Matter of fact, I'd had the conversation with him that he was moving to offensive line. And some things happened. We said, we're going to give him another spring and see what he can do. Whether it was that fire that was lit or he just finally came into his own, he was a different player this spring for us on the defensive front. We're very excited about that.
What did he say when you brought up offensive line?
Didn't say much. Sort of had a glare.
Tell you a lot?
Do
you see? Is that what you wanted to see?
I would have liked to see fire as opposed to the blank glare, but yeah, you know, those guys, they look at that move as a demotion. Some end up making millions over that demotion, but none of them want to accept it when it first is presented to them. Brandon Jensen, I think he could have been an outstanding offensive lineman. I really do, but we needed him on defense. We needed Pierre enough that we wanted to give him one more opportunity. It was a stare of reality that I've got to pick my game up, or exactly what coach says the consequence is going to happen.
Speaking of Pierre, I mean, he was one of, according to your roster, lost 20 pounds, I think, compared to the spring, and then Cousin lost 12. Is that a different strength and conditioning initiative with those type guys, or is it just coincidence?
We've leaned up certain guys, and as fluid as that roster is and where the weights come from and who they get them from, I don't know if they're as extreme maybe as some of those are. But we've, Devin Cousin and Vernell Trent and Pierre Aka, we've leaned up some of those guys on the defensive front, and they needed to be leaned up. It was definitely more of a priority from me to the coaching staff and carried through.
Paul, you've not compromised your principles from day one. You've run some guys from the team who, I want to say it, maybe could be responsible for some more victories. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yet you continued to do it. And why? I mean, it's you could have turned your head.
Yeah. We've run the program the same from day one and until we are right now. And it's a program, in my estimation, that's full of integrity and character and basically, doing the right things. And we're going to demand that of our players. We're going to look hard for it in the recruiting process and try to discover it as much as we can. There's a fine line between talented players having the potential to provide victory and talented players taken away from the entire rest of your roster. And that's where it becomes decision time for me. When I see the impact on everybody else on the roster, know everybody else's play begins to diminish because of a select few, then it's time to make hard, serious decisions like that.
Even given the fact that I'm the elephant in the room, given the fact that you've won 5 games over the last 2 years, I mean, fans maybe start becoming a little bit antsy.
Yeah, they're plenty antsy, and any fan of any institution in the country would be after 5 wins in 2 years. But I know the difference in our football team right now, July, 21st, versus January 21st, and maybe more accurately, November 21st, where we were. There's a chemistry, there's a closeness, there's a change in culture that's more direct to 2009 to 2012, and that excites me, and I think that excites the players, and I bet if you challenge those three today with some questions like that, they'd respond in kind.
How much of this, what you've done with moving some of these players, tied into the fact that success hasn't been there? How much of this would have been done independent of that going on?
School of Hard Knocks. You go back and Rodney Coe, David Irving. You make bold moves like that, and again, being the elephant in the room, those are NFL talent players. Mm-hmm. You make changes like that, you think they're going to have an immediate impact, and whether it's that realistic stare that Pierre had or whatever, guys straightening up in their chairs or walking a finer line and all that, and it didn't. And so I think the next time around, the consequence was 3-2 wins in 5 years. Yeah. And finally, maybe the old man's right. Maybe this is a bigger piece than we were letting it be. And it's the rest of them. Let's just use the number 100. Say you got 5 that are causing problems, and the other 95 let it happen. The other 95 were no longer willing to let it happen. And that's the biggest change in our culture.
Will you do more vetting when it comes to recruiting in that respect or not?
I think we've always tried to. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, I've pounded the table to make sure they understand the importance of it. There's a long list of questions that I want them to work through with as many people as possible to have us a thorough representation of who we're asking to join our program when we're all said and done.
Paul, it's kind of a football cliche, but I think it's true about the quarterback getting more credit when things are going well and blame when it's not. Sam,
sort of like the head coach.
Yeah, there you go. Sam, I mean, he does get his fair share of criticism. I don't know if he's won a Big 12 game as a starter. How do you work with him on that in the offseason to keep him, you know, being that leader, that swagger that a quarterback needs heading into a senior year?
Well, I think it's very, very critical for him because, you know, he's not deaf and he's not blind. Mm-hmm. So he feels that regardless of how guarded he wants to stay or wear blinders or say something, they feel that. And starting fast and the team enjoying success around him and the team providing a blanket for him to be our leader and be the catalyst will be directly in relationship to where this football team goes in 2015.
Does he have
I gotta grab Coach. I'm sorry. Okay. He's late.
That's fine. So.